and how to bring the commemorations into place, and it not be just a ritual. Praise God, but something that's powerful, something that's meaningful. Amen. Romans chapter 10. Romans, the 10th chapter, we'll read verses 20 and 21. You'll notice that he is quoting from Isaiah. Isaiah's words that were the word of the Lord hundreds of years before. And now Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is using those words. Verse 20, Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And obviously, he's talking about the Gentile church, you and me. Thank God. Verse 21, but to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. That's a contrast, huge contrast. But I want to focus on those two words, my hands. My hands. Praise God. You may be seated. Now, we use this as our Good Friday service. And we used to move the service to Friday, but really, I'm thankful we can commemorate this on a Thursday, on a Friday, a Saturday, a Sunday, whatever it might be. We remember what he did. Amen. Now, on Good Friday, it just happens that there were some amazing events that took place in Alaska. And if you were here in 1964, you remember a great shaking that took place with an earthquake. An earthquake that measured many more times than the earthquake we had at the end of November. That was a 7.2. This was a 9.2, or 9 point whatever it was. Very, very strong, and lasting several minutes. The Frenches had just been here 6 months, and so that shaking and the hardships that came afterward tested them, but they persevered. A church in Sterling. Praise God. The Blackshears were in Kodiak, and a young pastor, young family, and it's interesting to hear the reports that he gives about the situation in Kodiak, the harbor going dry, water bubbling up out of the bottom, in a strange color, purple. And then, as you know, people are, of course, watching and seeing this phenomena. And then somebody wisely said that water's coming back. And they all then began to go to higher ground. And you may have seen the pictures of fishing boats in the parking lots of supermarkets and so on. It definitely was an amazing event. That happened on Good Friday. In 1989, a little bit more recent, still quite a long ways ago, a tanker hit a reef outside of Valdez, the Exxon Valdez, in fact, it was called, and an ecological disaster that came as the crude oil coated the beaches for goodness, all the way over here to the peninsula and all south, the Gulf Coast, just covered with that crude oil. A disaster, but yet a boon to employment that put a lot of people to work. And the money that came out of that is just astounding, amazing. But here's the real disaster. The real disaster is that a lot of people don't know, a lot of people don't care what happened 2,000 years ago. That's the real disaster. And we're certainly not among that number. Praise God. We're here to commemorate and remember what the Lord did for us and to celebrate. Amen. Because we know what came 3 days later. Amen. Praise God. Now, God's attempts to deal with man's sin took a long time, in the sense that the law that he implemented with Moses was a tutor or a schoolmaster. What did it teach? It took all of that time for mankind to recognize we can't get it done this way. Nobody's going to be made perfect by this. Nobody can keep all the points of the law. It's impossible. Nobody's going to be able to make it in that way. There's no righteousness by the law. Now, the blood sacrifice that was implemented in the law, again and again in a variety of ways and on a scale that would help the poor as well as those who could afford the lamb, a dove if you couldn't afford the lamb, and so on. But the blood sacrifice being very important, because that's what he would come to do. The cross was the ultimate solution that the Lord would provide. And the preaching of the cross, however, was thought to be foolish. Christ crucified was viewed by the Jews as a stumbling block. That's not how the Messiah is to come to this world and forego his kingdom. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. What weakness, what humility, what shame. This is foolish. But the Apostle Paul had a whole different outlook there. He said, Christ crucified is what I'm determined for you to know. Above everything else, I determined, in 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Now, he didn't leave him on the cross. He didn't leave him in the tomb. Thank God he's alive. But remember the price. Remember how great the price is for your salvation. Amen. You didn't go into the supermarket and put a quarter in the slot and turn the little handle and put your hand under there so a few bits of salvation could fall into your hand. And that's all you would enjoy. Oh, no. It's so great salvation. It's so powerful salvation. It's so wonderful salvation. There's healing. There's deliverance. There's power. There's blessing. There's abundance. There's all that God desires for you to receive. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power that he would make known. So Paul would say, I put aside man's wisdom, and I choose the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, thank God. Thank God. If it was man's wisdom, there would be a bunch of us handicapped. But thank God he provided the demonstration of his Spirit and the demonstration of his power, and he would bring about tremendous change that he would call being born again. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Hebrews 10 and 10, Jesus offered his body and his blood as a sacrifice once for all. That was it. No more blood of bulls and of goats. No more turtle doves and lambs. Once for all, Jesus offered himself. So I like to look at him as a champion. I like to look at him as a conqueror. Hallelujah. He got the job done. Amen. Now, As we know in the Word, he gathered his disciples for what we call a Last Supper. And he told them, as he gave them bread, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He held the cup towards them. "This is my blood, which is shed for you." They didn't catch the significance, apparently, because very shortly after, they started having strife among themselves. Instead of sympathy and support for the one who was saying, "This is my body, this is my blood," they had strife. Who's the greatest among us here? And then Jesus got up from the table, removed his outer garment, picked up a towel, wrapped it around himself, took a basin, knelt down before them, and all 12, he washed their feet. Now, he knew their feet would not stand steadfast. He knew their feet would run. They wouldn't follow, they would flee. He knew that. But he washed those feet. Thank God. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't leave anybody out. He knew Peter would deny him those 3 times. He knew Judas had the money. He knew all of those things. But he washed their feet. Now think about the cross here for a moment. Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." That was even before he was hung on the cross. So crosses were prevalent. Crosses were well known. Crosses were a method of execution that the Romans used. The Jews used stoning. Took the one who offended outside the gates of the city, and the elders smashed the life out of them by throwing stones. The Romans, however, put their victims upon a cross. And generally, death came by asphyxiation. But the sad thing is, it sometimes took not only hours, but days for the victim to die. However, in this situation, the Romans, with their preferred method of execution, the heathen placed the Holy One on the cross. The suffering that the Lord had experienced up to this point was already immense. The stripes of the cat o' nine tails that fell across his back and his legs. The soldiers with their smiting, their striking, their spitting on him. "Prophesy, tell us who hit you." The mocking of placing a reed in his hand as though it were a scepter that a king would hold forth. The crown of thorns upon his head. And I'm not talking about, you know, quarter-inch thorns that are on a rose bush. Those thorns that we saw in Africa and that are on up into the Holy Land, those thorns are over an inch long. They don't break off. And that crown of thorns was jammed down upon his head. And the carpenter allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. Again, you would think there would be sympathy, that there would be those who would cry out, you know, "He does not deserve to die. Take him down." There would be those who would echo what Pilate had to say. "I find no fault in him. He doesn't deserve to die. Choose somebody else." And he brought Barabbas, who definitely was deserving of death. But they cried out, "Crucify him." Now they're crying out, "Save yourself." The rulers, the soldiers, one of the thieves that was crucified on his side, "Save yourself." And it wasn't, it was a challenge. It wasn't a plea to step down from the cross. No, it was a challenge. It was a mockery. Seven sayings of the Lord while he's on the cross are recorded. Those seven sayings begin with forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He spoke concern for his mother, concern for disciples, and then he said, it is finished. A champion. Because he finished the work. He conquered that which was thrown at him. Illegally, against the law, all of those aspects that were there. He didn't call for legions of angels to come and rescue him. Amen. Self-preservation is a very, very strong instinct. But the Lord conquered that and gave himself as a sacrifice for our salvation. Spectacular events took place. Darkness for 3 hours in the middle of the day. We talked about the earthquake. The earth shook. The ground shook. And the Lord was upon the cross. The veil in the temple torn from top to bottom. All of these amazing signs that would help people to understand that something spectacular was taking place here. Something supernatural was happening. Not just an ordinary execution, not just something that you can look at and shrug your shoulders and go on your way. No, a new and living way was being opened, praise God, into the presence of God and the blood of Jesus, providing that boldness with which we are able to enter. Hebrews 9 and 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So the wounds that the whip brought upon his back were for our healing. The crown of thorns that caused blood to flow from his scalp would cleanse our minds. Thank God for that blood that he shed for us. 1 John 1 and 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It paid the price for everything, all sin. Praise God. And yet, as he said in Isaiah, and Isaiah wrote it down, and Paul recorded it in his book to the Romans, I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient people, a rebellious people. Started with Eve and Adam. Moses leading Israel, what he had to put up with. I'm tickled at Deuteronomy 9 and 7, how he tells them, remember and forget not. He's not telling them, remember the water parted, remember the water came from the rock, remember the water that was made sweet. No, he's saying, remember how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you did depart out of the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Remember that. He's not letting up on them one bit. Wanting them to understand, you can't keep walking that way and expect the blessings of the Lord. You drop down in the chapter, and he tells them, you have been rebellious against the Lord from the first day that I knew you. They were a bad bunch. They needed to be reminded. They needed to have them changed. Remember why Jesus is named the way he is. For he shall save his people from their sins. And John would record it. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Rebellious. Disobedient. I've stretched my hands to you. Thank God he said he would build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. A church of Jew and Gentile, where the barbaric would be baptized, the crude would become Christians, the heathens would be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. The power of the Lord that would be displayed in that manner. Paul said, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross. Amen. I'm going to glory in that cross. I'm crucified to the world. The world's crucified to me. That's what I'm going to hold on to. Amen. He stretched forth his hands, and they were nailed to that cross. You are bought with a price. Amen. What a price. And what an act. What a fulfillment. Colossians 1 and 20. I love these verses. Colossians 1 and 20. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Ephesians 1 and 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, riches in a natural sense could provide comfort and convenience, security, and just make you feel good, I guess. But the riches of his grace go beyond just the outside, go beyond just the creature comforts that we might crave and feel like is so important. Thank God, the riches of his grace go on the inside. Our hearts and our minds are kept, amen, by peace that he gives. Thank God for that power. And that same statement is repeated by Paul in Colossians 1 and 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, thank God that he would make the way, that he would provide for us. We would be blessed with redemption and forgiveness of sins because he was willing to shed his blood as he stretched forth his hands. Praise God. The disciples who walked to and from Emmaus, 15 miles, seven and a half miles one way in the evening, 7.5 miles going back in the dark, because they couldn't wait for the next day. We have talked to Jesus. We know he's alive. Praise God. And they got with the other disciples and said, he is risen indeed. And Jesus appeared. And he said, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and troubled. Praise God. But the Lord said, behold my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. I wonder who stepped forward. Praise God. Thomas wasn't there, apparently. And he doubted or he desired his own experience. So the doors were shut. And Jesus appeared in the midst of them. That would be kind of startling, wouldn't it? But when you recognize who it is, oh, hallelujah. Peace be unto you, he said again. Then he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. He stretched those hands forward. Praise God. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. I'm thankful the Lord understands the struggles we have. I'm thankful he knows what we're afraid of. He knows what we're up against in terms of a battle. And he says, reach out to me. Reach out to me. Touch me. Because I'll give you power. I'll give you blessing. I'll give you strength. Praise God. There were those who had such great faith that if they could just touch the hem of his garment, they knew they'd be healed. Oh, thank God that he invites us to come and reach out and touch him. Thank God that his hands reach out for us. We prayed tonight for needs, and I believe the Lord is reaching forward now to take care of those needs. Amen. Amen. He's already got the answer on the way. He's already ministering. He's already providing. Praise God. And we have the privilege of taking hold of his hands as he stretches forth to reach out to us. And we stretch to reach out to him. Praise God. Praise God. And as I said, the real disaster is there are a lot of people who don't know and don't care what Jesus did for them. Oh, that God would use us, that our hands would stretch out. For the Lord, certainly. For his power, definitely. For his blood, yes. But our hands would stretch forth to see that they could be touched. They could be blessed. They could be encouraged. They could be healed. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. The Lord desires to do that work. And thank God we can be a part of it. Would you stand with me now? I want us just to stretch forth our hands for a few minutes here as we give praise to the Lord, as we exalt him, as we appreciate him, are grateful to him, give thanks to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, my Jesus, I love you. I praise you.